I really wanted to talk a little bit about the days of Sphira, what we're supposed to be focused on, times of Sphira. The sign outside says a Chumash here. I was a little stuck, but Baruch Hashem, in this week's parasha, mentions the Svartim Lachem, the Machas HaShabbos, the Mitzvah of Sphira, so I was saved to be able to talk a little bit about Sphira, even in a Chumash here on Parashat Emor. The Rishonim bring down a Medrash that talks about the Mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. It says that the Rebbeinu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim on Pesach. For what purpose? That by after 50 days we're going to reach the days of Shavuos and there's going to be Matan Torah. That was the purpose of taking the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. So it says that the Yidden said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you took us out, we're going to serve Hashem. What's going to happen? When is that going to be? We're anxiously waiting. So Moshe told him 50 days. Have to wait, it'll be 50 days till there'll be Shavuos. And from that, the Yidden said that they were very anxious about it, so they started counting. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, they were counting until they got to Shavuos. And then, because they counted, so therefore we have the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer as well. Around at the end of Pesachim brings down this Medrash, other Rishonim as well, that's the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Since the Yidden then counted very anxiously till they got to the times of Matan Torah, so too these days when we have our own annual Kabbalah HaTorah on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, so we build up to that by counting. So what exactly happened in the Yimei Sfira? That wasn't the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That wasn't the time of Kabbalah HaTorah. So what was it? That was the time, this tkufa that we're in now, was the time that the Yidden, after they went out of Mitzrayim, were excitingly waiting Kabbalah HaTorah. They were waiting anxiously for the Kabbalah HaTorah. There was that anticipation. They were counting 1, 2, today is 19, and then tonight is 20, and 21, and then the second half, and keep going on and on, until we finally get to the Kabbalah HaTorah. So really, in essence, the days of Sfira are not the days of Kabbalah HaTorah, and not the days of the Geula Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's days of excitement in Torah. It's days that the Yidden had the anticipation and waited anxiously to get to that point of Torah, and therefore it could be that one of the Avodas that we have to work on in the Yemei HaSfira, taka in preparation for our Kabbalah HaTorah, is that the Torah should be by us something that we wait anxiously for, something that we're excited about, something that's geshmak to us. Shouldn't be dry to us. It's something that we're counting the days to Kabbalah HaTorah. It's days of excitement in our learning. And I saw that Baruch Hashem, the first week of the Zman, taka started with a knack. It's obvious in the whole Beis Medrash, not just from the attendance in the Beis Medrash, but the involvement, you see guys mamish into it, first Seder, second Seder, talking and learning, night Seder, and you see it, I see specifically in my shir, the Olam asking, answering, the Olam is kochin, everybody's into it, and you see it, it's evident in the whole Beis Medrash. Baruch Hashem, the first week of the Zman started with a bang. But how do you continue that? The first week of the Zman is usually a bigger chizuk than the rest of the Zman, so that's our avoidah. Our avoidah is to keep that excitement of the Yemei Sfira. It's not such a long Zman that we have to look so far ahead and start pacing ourselves. The Zman is basically till the end of the Sfira, and then we'll have another Shmooz for the few weeks after that. But it is basically a Yemei Sfira to build that excitement in the learning leading up to the Kabbalah HaTorah. The excitement that we have in our learning is really a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, V'havi shoysa batzama es tivrayim. I mean, it's not enough that a person should be learning the Torah. Should be drinking it with a thirst, bitzama, stivrayim. That means the words of the Chacham, the words of the Torah, a person should drink with thirst. And what's the maila of drinking it with thirst? Rabbi Yitzel of Velazhiner has a sefer called Mili da'avis, Pirishan na'perki avis, that's Rabbi Chaim Velazhiner's son. And Rabbi Yitzel says that the idea of havishaisa bitzama, stivrayim is that when someone is very thirsty, his drinking water is not a regular, calm drink of water. He drinks it mamish with a tainig, with a pleasure, with a geshmak. He's just played a ball game and he's in the heat, and he goes in and he takes a drink of water. That's something that he drinks with a great simayin, with a great tainig, with a great pleasure. He says the same thing a person has to learn, b'tshuka nifla. A person sitting and learning, you open a sefer, where we have to, it's not going to go. A person has to get himself into it and appreciate the value of every gemara, every rashi, every taisis, every pasuk chumash, every new halacha. He has to value that, even small things, in order to make it that the Torah by him is geshmak. Rav Yitzchak says, when a person learns with the geshmak, it's not dry for the person, he's learning with that feeling. So he says an unbelievable thing. Even if you learn a lot of information, you learn a lot of things, tizkor hakol, you'll remember everything, v'loy tishkach. Why? Because if the learning makes a lasting impression, how does the learning make a lasting impression on the person? When you let it make a roshem on you, when you do it with the geshmak, and it's part of you, it goes into your bones, it's not something you read the Gemara, finished, go weiter, maybe another time chazer it, but it's something that's alive, it's something that the person is living. When a person does it with the geshmak, then it stays by the person. And I think that's something that we have to be mechazik ourselves in the days of Sfira, to build that excitement in the learning. And the excitement is built when a person shows the chashivus, he shows it, and then Mimela feels it, that importance of one small thing. Can't be like, when I have a masechta down pat, that'll be geshmak. No, one gemara, one chiddush la'alacha, one chakira that you hear from an achrayim, one psak alacha that someone mentions, something that's very small, a nice word on the parasha, one thing at a time, then a person, if he values that one thing, slowly but surely, before you know it, he'll become a talmid chacham. He picks up one thing after the other. There's a medrash in Parshas Vayechi, on the pasuk of V'yidgul aroiv b'kerav ha'aretz, that the Klal Yisrael is doimit to fish. So in what way is Klal Yisrael doimit to fish? A very long medrash that is doimit in many different ways. But one of the things that the medrash says there in Parshas Vayechi is, ma dogim halalu, just like these fish, gedalim b'mayim, they live in the water. Still, if you ever notice, when there's rain coming down, the fish come to the surface, they open their mouth, and they try to grab. What's the drop? They're living in the water. What do they need another drop? But no, but they want to chop, they want to get every last drop. Something's coming down from the sky, they want to go up and get it. As if they never had water before. Here they are, living in an ocean of water. But they come up to get the drops of rain. Kachen Yisrael, similarly, Klal Yisrael, Gedalim B'mayim, we also live in water. Torah that's compared to the water, the Yam HaTalmud. Kivan Shein, Shayimim Dova, Chadash Min HaTorah, once they hear a new thing, Min HaTorah, they hear a Dvar Chiddush, something, Hein Mekablan Yisrael B'tzimayim. That's the Midah of a Yid, that he grabs everything with a thirst. Kamisha Lashom Dvar Torah Mimayim, as if this was the first Vart he ever heard. Any Vart that you hear, a new Vart, something on the Parsha, something in the Gemara, something in Dvar Torah, that's something that a person has a geshmak, and in that way, we're similar to fish. Gemara that the people learning Daf Yomi learned recently in Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Beis, Rav Chisda was a kayan, and it says that he was holding once Matnis Kahuna. People gave him two Matnis Kahuna, and he said, whoever could tell me something in the name of my Rebbe Rav was already Nifter, whoever could tell me something in the name of Rav, I'll give him these Matnis Kahuna. So people lined up, and someone said to him, I'll tell you something in the name of Rav. And he told him, Halacha, it says, Hanoisin matana lechaveiro, yitzarech lohidiyo, if you give a present to your friend, you have to let him know, you have to let him know that it was from you, you shouldn't do it hiddenly, if it's not stuck up, if it's like a friendly gift. So they tell him that it's used like this, it'll be maisiv friendship and paisa. So he said, he never heard that, as a davar chadash, he gave his man his kuna. Then he said, oh, you like Rav's stuff so much, he told him something else, and he said, oh, if I had any more, I would give you more. Here we see Rav Chisda was already Rav Chisda. He knew everything. But here he heard one new thing and he was ready to give away Geshmak HaMatnas Kuna, and he said if he would have had more, he would give it. The word is the Torah by him was not just information. Torah by him was something that was Chaviv, that was Geshmak. If any of you have ever been in the presence of my father when he's telling over a good word, I mean, Baruch Hashem, I grew up with this, and he has a good word, a good story. It's something as if it's like the first time he ever heard the word, the first time he ever said it, the first time he ever said the story. I've heard stories from him 50 times. I'm already bored of the story. And he's telling it like mamish with a new story, with the emotion, with everything. And that's how we have to treat our learning. The learning has to be in a way that every little bit is geshmak. And we like to think that, you know, the gedolim, the big talmid chachamim, that's something that's out of reach for us. But the way it's not out of reach, the way it's within reach, is when a person starts with something small, your ma'aseif, little by little, you get a good vart on the parasha, you get a good halacha here, a gemara here, and then slowly but surely it adds up. There's a medrash in Parashas Metzora that I've quoted in Bava Metzia. The medrash in Parashas Metzora says that if somebody's foolish, misha tipeish, somebody who's foolish, mahu aimer, what does he say? He says, mi yachal umeres ha-tayra. Who could learn the whole Torah? The Torah is so big. Nezikin lamed prakim, kalim lamed prakim, Nezikim has 30 prakim, Kalim has 30 prakim. I brought it in because that Nezikim is referring to their Masechta Nezikim, not the Seder Nezikim. There was a Masechta, Kula Nezikim, Chada Masechta. Shainim say it means the three Bavas, Bava Kamba, Mitzir, Bava Basa, which is 30 prakim, 10 prakim in each. Al Kabana, the Medrash says, you look at the big Masechtas, Nezikim has 30 prakim, Kalim has 30 prakim. How could I do it? Misha Pikeach, a person who's a wise person, Ma'u, I mean, what does he say? I'm not looking around at the whole Torah. Hareini shayna shtei halachas hayoyim. I'm going to learn two pieces of Gemara today, two halachas today. Shtei halachas lamachar. I'll learn two halachas tomorrow. Hachani shayna, it's called a terakula. 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. We'll get me through the whole thing. I don't care how many prakam it is. I don't care how many daf it is. I don't care how many simanim it is. We'll do a little bit at a time. You chisel away. That's how a person is kaina, kala terakula. And that's the difference between a tipesh and a pikeach. A person who's a fool looks at the big picture and says, oh, I can't do it. A person who's a pikeach takes a little bit at a time, then he realizes that it's not so out of reach. You do a little bit here, an amma today, an amma tomorrow. Pretty soon you make a siyam on a small masechta. And then after all this man, you make a siyam on a big masechta. And it adds up. One more medrash. There's another medrash that says, mamash, a beautiful insight in medrashes in Parshas Pinchas, that says, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, that the Torah is compared to a fig tree. A te'ena, a fig tree. Why is the Torah compared to a fig tree? So it says, because most of the trees, the fruits on each tree become ripe at the same time. By an olive tree, a grapevine, a date tree. The Medrash says all these things. There's a certain time that's l'kitasam ka'achas. Then that's when it becomes ripe and ready to be picked. By a fig tree, it's unique that it's nilketes ma'at ma'at. Certain figs become ripe now, certain next week, certain the week after. So it's nilketes ma'at ma'at. So the Medrash says, kacha Torah, the same thing. The Torah also has to be ma'at ma'at. There's no one time that now, bang, it's gonna, now you become a Talmud Chacham. Let's see, ma'at ma'at. HaTorah loymed ma'at. Hayoyim loymed ma'at. Ulamachar harbet. By tomorrow already, it'll add up. Kinyan HaTorah is a slow, gradual process. A person has to learn a little bit at a time. Can't chop the velt in one day. And the Lashon HaMedrash is, She'ena mislamedes loy bishana veloy bishnasayim. It's not learned in a year or two. It's not just not in a week or two. In a year or two, the Torah is quite big. In a year or two, you're not going to finish Kol Torah Kula unless you're chazering like Reb Chaim Kanevsky. It's not his first or second time. But when a person is trying to be kind of Torah, to do it a little bit at a time, just like the fig tree, which ripens a little bit at a time, gradually, that's how we have to chisel away at Kinyan HaTorah. And this should be our avodah in this tkufa. In the days of Sfira, which is leading up to Kabbalah HaTorah, we have to grab every opportunity to learn something new. A new Gemara, a new Halacha, a new Dvar Torah, something to grab the little things till it can add up to a big thing. And when we show that excitement and feel that excitement about every new thing that we learn in Torah, it'll eventually add up to things that we never dreamed that we could actually reach. I saw an incredible insight recently from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Says that the famous Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis, that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died at this time of year, right, between Pesach and Atzeres. Shalai Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. So what's happens that they died after at this time? They didn't even die the entire time, right? It says they died only 33 days till Lag BaOmer, different shittas, different menhagim. But why? The Gemara says mi Pesach v'Atzeres. So obviously the Gemara is trying to teach us that it has to do with this tkufa, because it wasn't the entire time from Pesach to Atzeres. But the Gemara phrases it mi Pesach v'Atzeres to teach us something that they died after at this time. And Rabbi Yaakov suggests that it could be that since this time is the time where we're preparing for Kabbalah HaTorah, we're supposed to instill in ourselves that svira, that excitement, counting to the days of Kabbalah HaTorah, the Avas HaTorah. That's a special time that a person has to show kavod l'chaverim, because each chaver is someone potentially you could learn from. A person learns from his rabbeim, but the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, in certain ways you learn from your friends more than your rebbe. Your friend has a good kasha, your friend has a good pshat. He's someone who's more on your level. A person can learn mechaverai, sometimes yoiser from the rabbeisai. So if you're not noy, covered zelazet, specifically in the days when they're supposed to be improving in Avas HaTorah, so that's why they were punished, because they obviously weren't machshav of the Torah and weren't being nisayra to the avoida of the day of improving in their Avas HaTorah, and that's why they didn't have the chashivas of the friend. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, to apply the misa of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva to the Yemei HaSfira. It's interesting, there's a big goyin in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Not to be confused with Rav Moshe Shapiro, somebody else. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was a Rosh Hashiva in Be'er Yaakov. And as it happens, last year, about this time, I went to visit him. He's still alive, Baruch Hashem. When I came to visit Waterbury last year before Pesach, so on my plane, on the way back, on the plane I was on the way back, I sat next to a guy who was very close to Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. He was this gabbai, his shaman. And he said, if you ever want to go in, just let me know. So I said, okay, how about tomorrow? So we made an appointment, and we went there at Pesach. It was the day before Bedikas Chametz. And we went with the whole family to Be'er Yaakov. And we got a bracha, we got a picture, we got everything important. And so I got to meet Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. But I heard that Rav Moshe Shmuel, someone once came to him, and said, you know, there's this big, very wealthy person. He doesn't learn a word, But he has a big avas at Torah. How do you know he has a big avas at Torah if he doesn't learn a word? Is that because he supports kailalim? Kailalim that he pays the budget for a lot of the kailalim. Three kailalim he helps support. So Moshe Shmuel says it's a wonderful thing supporting kailalim. It's a gaval de gazah. But I don't think he's the biggest ayiv Torah. Because if someone is such a big ayiv Torah, then it can't be that he won't learn a word. If you like something so much, then you do it yourself. Did you ever hear of a guy who loves chocolate so much that he gives away all his chocolate? He said, if a guy loves chocolate, he's going to eat it. See, if a person, if he's an ayiv Torah, it's a gavaldiga thing to support kailim. More people should do it. It's a gavaldiga thing. But if he's such an ayiv Torah, he should take part in it himself. He should take a bite of the chocolate. He should do it himself. You tell me, he doesn't learn a word, but he's an ayiv Torah. I assume that there are bigger ayiv Torah than someone who doesn't learn. And the first thing I thought of when I heard this maisa was a pasuk in Tehillim. In Kufiyat Tes, it says, what does David HaMelech say? Mo'o hafti Torah secha. David says, see how much I love Torah. How does David show his love of Torah? Kol hayayim hishtichasi. It's my conversation all day. Not that I'm supporting others who are doing it. I love the Torah so much, I'm doing it myself. That is the greatest avas haTorah, the biggest avas haTorah, and excitement about Torah that we could display and we could show is if we ourselves involve ourselves in the Torah. And that's what David HaMelech is saying. Kol hayayim hishtichasi. That is the showing the greatest way to show his chashivas haTorah and his avas haTorah. This is something that's so important. The person is trying to build on his asmada and be able to learn full siddurim and as much as possible. When someone is involved in a boring activity, it's very hard to stick with it for a long time. If you're doing something very boring, every few minutes you're looking at your watch. The learning has to be exciting for a person in order for him to keep the long hours. How did David HaMelech say, Kol hayayim hishtichasi? How did he do the same thing the whole day? It's because Ma Ahavti Seir HaSecha. Because he loved it. He wasn't bored by it. He had a geshmak for it. Because Ma Ahavti Seir HaSecha, because he loved it so much, that was the only way he was able to be Kol hayayim hishtichasi. Now, we should face the reality that in this yeshiva, there's a very laid-back atmosphere in comparison to many other makarmas HaTorah. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a very healthy atmosphere. The olam is relaxed. The olam is happy. In other places, not generalizing, but in some other places, a great level of pressure. And some guys don't react to the pressure as well as a friendly, relaxed atmosphere. It's a meridika thing. It's one of the biggest milos of the Waterbury Yeshiva. But a person should not lose focus of the goal. The idea of a relaxed atmosphere, a comfortable atmosphere, a friendly atmosphere, the idea is what the yeshiva is trying to do is that the olam should be comfortable with the learning. It's not that we should try to cause more bittul fire. The idea is that when a person is comfortable and he's happy and it's friendly and it's more relaxed, a little more laid back, so then the olam is comfortable, everybody's happy, they're learning what they want, they're learning the way they want, and it's something that's conducive to a person's shtaigin. But you can't use that type of atmosphere to be lax in your shtaigin. You use that instead of feeling like a tight pressure and you have to fit into a certain mold, there's a little more looseness and a little more relaxed. But not in a way that's going to take away from our ultimate shtagging. We can't lose sight of the goal, that the goal is that we should be comfortable with our learning and comfortable with our shtagging. When you get too comfortable, and sometimes the learning becomes more and more interrupted. A person's learning, but right now I've been learning 15 minutes already and it's not so comfortable, so I'm going to go out to take a drink. The learning that's interrupted is the biggest stira to Kinyan HaTorah. Kinyan HaTorah is when a person can sit down and learn for as much as he could, consecutive learning, just like the doctors say, consecutive sleep is very important. You sleep an hour here, you sleep an hour there. It's not as much as sleeping like a night's sleep in a row, consecutive sleep. So consecutive learning, la'avdo, is something that makes a kinyan HaTorah. The Chazon Ish has a beautiful letter in Kovetz Igrois of the Chazon Ish, and he writes in the third letter in Igeres Gimel, he says, Ikr ha'limud hu ha'tmidi. The Ikr ha'limud is the consecutive learning, the habilti nifsat, the uninterrupted learning. Person could get in a good seder, you sit and learn for an hour with somebody, and there was no phone calls, no going out, you took care of everything you had to beforehand, and you get in a solid hour. That's much better than learning 15 minutes four times, severally. The interrupted learning, he says, in his eloquent Lashon, is hakiyum hatoyhu ha'efes va'aheder. What that brings out is emptiness and nothingness and however else you're going to attach it, but that's what happens when a person is interrupted. He learns a little bit, whatever he got, now he went out, so he forgot it, now he starts again. It's something that when a person is trying to be kind of Torah, the geshmak that a person has in his learning can keep a consecutive seder going, and he doesn't have to run out. When a person has to learn something that he feels is interesting and not boring to him, and with this he'll be able to maximize his time and take advantage of his time and learn in the way that can build for him the kinyan haTorah. There are two pieces of practical advice that I would suggest in order for a person to reach levels of Kinyan HaTorah in a way that the learning will be exciting for him and the learning will have an everlasting impression on him. One thing, when you learn something that's Geshmak, don't keep it to yourself. Tell it over to others. If you hear a good vart on the parasha, an interesting halacha that you learned, an interesting hakira, tell it over to someone. There are a lot of people that are interested in hearing a good vart. You tell it over to someone. First of all, when you tell things over, especially more than once, you remember it a lot better. First you see that you got it close. The first time you try to say it over, you realize you don't even have the vart. But then by the time you say it over, you look it up again or you ask someone else, you remember it a lot better, it becomes much sharper when you tell it over. But in addition to that, you tell it over, there's a lot of Talmid Chachamim here, among the Bachrim, and you tell over, someone has a kasha, someone has an insight, you always end up hearing more, you hear someone else's angle. I don't know why you think that's the best teretz to the kasha, I once heard a different teretz, and you hear, and Rav Chashmaitza, then it becomes more and more, there's such milas in telling things over. Like David HaMelech said, Kol HaYoyim Hisi Chasi, that was my conversation all day. When he heard a good vart, so he didn't keep it to himself, he told it over to others. That's something that's very important. When we do develop that geshmak in our learning, and we do learn something that's important to us, and geshmak for us, we should share it with others, tell it to them, and we ourselves will be kind to it much more. And if I could add to this, I think a great time that a person should try to tell things over, tell over a nice Dvar Torah, tell over a nice machshava, is at the time of a suda. A person goes down to lunch after learning a first Seder, there's no reason that he shouldn't have anything to say over from a first Seder, from a Shir, from something, to a guy sitting next to him. He heard a good Vart, so he's going down to breakfast. Something that he learned the entire yesterday, a good Vart, something in learning, something, I mean, in the Gemara with the Yeshiva's learning, something in Chumash, something on the Mayit, something on Machshava, Halacha. When a person comes down to a Suda, you have to train yourselves to do this. To say over a Vart, he doesn't have to look like the frumest person that he's coming with a Sefer to the table. You come down, there's conversation, there's a lot of conversation, it doesn't all have to be in learning, but you tell over a good Vart at one time during a 20-minute, half-hour Suda that you're there, to tell over a good Vart, it's Mekadosh the Shulchan. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, that Reb Shimon says that if you have three people sitting at a table and there's no Divrei Torah, Kilo Achlu Miziv Chai Meisim. What's Ziv Chai Meisim? The Mefarshim say, the Rambam there on the Mishnah, Ziv Chai Meisim is if you're eating a carbon to Avodah Zarah. The Kroivis Avodah Zarah, someone brought a sacrifice to an Avodah Zarah, and you're taking part in that Suda. That's when the Suda has no Divrei Torah. That's Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, that's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is also the one who wrote the Zohar, and there is a Zohar in Parshas Truma where he also talks about the idea of talking Torah al HaShulchan. And he says that when a person says one Dvar Torah at the table, whatever meal it is, a Shabbos meal, a weekday meal, if you tell over a Dvar Torah at the meal, Malachim come down to that table and give the person Kol HaBrachis Sheba'olam HaZeh Ve'olam HaBa. Person, everyone wants brachas, everyone wants parnasa, everyone wants atzlacha and health and happiness. So how do you get the brachas? So the Zohar HaKadosh and Parshas Truma is telling us that the way you get the brachas, all the brachas in Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa, is a little Dvar Torah at the table. Person says over Dvar Torah at the table, that's how he gets all the brachas. I saw once printed in the back of the Sefer Yisoid V'Sherish HaAvoida, Chashav HaMusi Sefer from about 100 years ago, they print his tzava that he wrote to his children. And in the tzava there, he quotes this Zohar and says, I want you to be zoicha to all the brachas. So I want to tie you down with ropes of love. At the voices shall ava. And he says, I want to tell you that you have a chiyavat kibur av and tzava shriv mira. And I want to, this will be my last will. That I want you to be makabel on yourself, that every single meal that will go on in this house, after I'm not here, there should be a dvar Torah at the table, just like you see on yourselves a chiyav to daven three times a day, shachas, mincha, ma'ariv. Also, all three meals you should say over divrei Torah. And you think I'm inconveniencing you, then now you have to prepare a dvar Torah every meal? He says, I'm giving you the biggest brachas in the world. You just might not be strong enough to do it on your own. So I'm telling you now, you have a mitzvah of kibur av. That's what he writes there in Yisrael Mishra Shavoida. That's how I saw the Zohar brought down. But it was interesting that it's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai himself, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, that says, if there's no divrei Torah, it's kilo achol mitziv chai meisim. Here he says, if you do speak divrei Torah at the table, that's something that brings down all the bracha, that the malachim come down and give a bracha. You see sometimes people always have divrei Torah, you know, on their tongue. You meet a guy, he always has a good vart to say, a good vart that he heard. I was always jealous of those people who, like, no matter what topic you're doing or what parasha it is, they'll always have something. And Rabbi Belsky in Camp Aguda, Rabbi Samuel Belsky once told me, how do you do it? You have to know a lot, but you don't really have to know a lot. He said the main thing is that you have to prepare. I think everyone has Divrei Torah. He says, sit down, prepare two or three Divrei Torah, things that you heard that you like, and those will be your things. When you're going on a train somewhere, or you're in an airport, or you're sharing a ride with someone else, this will be your vart. You'll say it over a bunch of times till you'll never forget it, and then you take a different vart. Everything, every good thing comes with preparation. That looks to the other guy, oh, you just sat down in the car. You said, oh, there's a good vash, Shavuos is coming up, I have a nice vash, I'm coming up, but then it becomes a conversation of Torah. It doesn't happen on its own. No one knows things on their own. You learn something or you hear something and you coin it. When you tell it over, when you prepare to tell it over, and then you tell it over, that's something that that gets a person a big kenyan in the Torah. And like I said, if we can, something I think that needs chizuk in the yeshiva, if we could have bachim, not necessarily with a designated rotation, but some that people should feel within themselves. And when they go down to a suda, to say over something small, not the shia klali of today. You say over a small vatayra of bar in the parasha, and something that everybody understands, and it's a nice bar, or a good machshav, or something you hear. And then it's something that's makadish, the shulchan, and it brings all the brachas. But for this aspect as well, besides the hilchas suda, the aspect of the kinyan ha-Torah, when a person learns something, that he should learn it well enough to be able to tell it over, and then he'll tell it over and hear other people's insights, that's something that helps very much to the kinyan ha-Torah. The second practical advice, besides telling it over to others, I think is very helpful in terms of kinyan ha-Torah, is when someone writes something down for himself. Forget about for others, we'll talk about printing svarim another time. But for a person writing down notes for himself, people think notes has to be big chidushim. I don't have a shtickle Torah on the sugya, so I'm not going to write notes. If I would have waited till I had a shtickle Torah on the sugya to write notes, I don't think I'd have any notebooks on my shelf. Notes doesn't mean a shtickle Torah. Notes means you heard a machlokes Rashba and Ritva, and you're afraid you're going to forget it, or you're not going to be kind it. So you write down, the Rashba holds it in this case, you're fine, the Ritva says you're butter. As you're writing it down, there's always something that comes up, a nuance, you figure it out a little better. You hear a shayla of Rabbi Kiva Eger, you hear a shayla of Ladina. You have different notebooks, different sections, the Chazinish in another letter, say the letter right after the one we mentioned before, in the Kovitz Igres, in letter Dalet, he's writing to someone, he says, do me a favor, put down your ha'aras, anything, any ha'aras that you have, put it down in a proper notebook, in a sefer mekurach. But don't have loose papers like you see flying around the Gemaras, and eventually they're not in the Gemaras anymore, they're in someone else's Gemara, and they're in the Beit, they're in the garbage. But let's get a proper notebook, write down your ha'aras, l'mantiyena l'chol ha'mishmeres, in order that you'll have it as a mishmeres, you'll have it forever. L'man yamdu yamim rabim. The idea is that when a person writes down something, so then, it's his. He wrote it down. He has a notebook. Not if it's a loose paper. If it's something that he has, a designated notebook. Let's say the first notebook that we could all start is a Chumash notebook. Pash Sashavua. I started this only after I got married. I lost many years because of this. But at least I started it then. But a person, throughout the week, throughout Shabbos, you had a Suda, you had a Sheva Brachas, you had a Bar Mitzvah, you had a graduation. I'm sure throughout our lives we've heard many nice Divrei Torah. We've heard many Shlosim also, but we've heard many nice Divrei Torah. So you hear a nice word, so you say, wow. So now how long does that stick with you? If you told it over to someone, maybe it'll stick with you till after you finish telling it over to him. But now you write it down. You have a parsha notebook. You start with Bereishis, and yeah, it's going to look very empty. You have a page with a heading on each one, parsha Bereishis, parsha Knife, and you have nothing written down in most of the parshas. A few of the parshas, you have one word. Maybe one parsha, you have two words. But then, every year, as you come back to it, so you keep adding, and you keep adding, and pretty soon that'll become your most covered possession, that you have a Chumash notebook, you open up, this is Parshas Emor, you look up your notebook, you have three things written down on Parshas Emor, this you heard a Shmuz in this yeshiva, and this you heard a Shaila here, and you're on your table, you write it down, which sefer you saw it, or where you heard it, and then you have it, then it's yours, then you're telling it over. When a person writes it down, that's something that's a kinyan for him, it's a kinyan forever. Many of the things, I mean, I could say probably 90% of things I ever said over here in a shir, in a shmuz, it's not stuff that like, oh, just like thought of the night before. It's stuff that's written down from all the years of learning. When a person, we're not computers, we can't think we're going to remember everything. But if you write it down, you have it in an organized notebook, then you come back to it, you don't parrot over what you saw, but you think through again, but you're starting with a head start. You have a vart on the parsha. Now you thought this year you thought of a new insight, a new teretz for the kasha, or you heard a different shmuz that explained it a little differently. So you add it down, you spend a few minutes, matzah Shabbos, and it's worthwhile. When you write it down, then the thing becomes yours. You get an actual kinyan in the Torah. These days, a lot of people's learning is done in transit. People learn with tapes, people learn with CDs, and it's a gevaldige gezach, belechtecha baderech, as you're going on the train, as you're taking a walk, as you're driving in a car. So merit gezach. The one thing we have to be cautious of, though, is you hear so many things in this time, and it's maximizing the time instead of just wasting the time, a trip to New York, an hour and a half, 2 hours, you hear a CD, you hear a tape, it's gevaldig. But if you hear something good that you want to be kinder, you have to make a note, maybe not while you're driving, but afterwards, you make a note to write it down. If you write it down, then it becomes yours. Kfana ha'araisecha b'sefer mekura, in a properly bound notebook, in a real notebook. then it's something that becomes yours, and that's the way you make a kinyan atayra. First of all, when you tell it over to others. Secondly, when you write it down for yourself. Just add one last thing, the negayah to the kinyan Torah, that a person should always make sure, especially in his years as a bachar, that he should give himself the opportunity to become a Talmud Chacham by putting in the proper hours. It's true that becoming a Talmud Chacham is from chiseling away, a little bit here, a little bit there. But if a person has time, you have to give yourself a chance. You think, I can't become a Talmud Chacham. If you would sit and learn the proper time, take something that's interesting to you and make an extra Seder and get a Chavrusa for it, that's something. If you never gave yourself the chance of putting in enough hours, then it's taka impossible. But you shouldn't be afraid to take a challenge of making an extra Seder. If it doesn't work out, so you'll stop it. You probably won't go off the deep end if you learned one Zman, a Seder, that was too much for you. So the next man, you don't do that. But to give yourself the chance to push a little bit, to learn something, not something that you're forced to learn, something that you want to learn on your own, and that's something that can bring a person to higher and higher madrigas in Kinyan HaTorah. I have a brother who lives in Eretz Yisrael. I'm very proud of him, my younger brother. He's a great guy, he always was. But as a teenager, he wasn't the best bachur in the yeshiva, and he wasn't even the smartest bachur in the shir. He was a good guy. A solid guy, and he decided, about the age of most of you, he decided that he's going to devote more hours to the learning. He's going to put in some extra siddurim and things that he liked. He loved Tanakh, he liked learning Bekiyas, and he started. He got tapes, and other things, and he was able to learn a lot of it with the chavrusas, a lot of it by himself. Nice of the people who are in the Mir and Eretz Yisrael could be made that he's one of the biggest masvidim now in the Mir Yeshiva. He puts in time, he puts in Fridays, puts in every night later. And now he's married already, and he has a mishpacha. But even so, he's a gevaldige masmid. He was mesayim Tanakh at least 3 times that I know. He used to learn a perek a day of Tanakh after Meir. He had a chavrusa for some of the time. Some of the time he didn't. He finished Tanakh, which includes Eov and Yeshaya and Divrei Hayamim and Treyaser and all these things that we know so little about that everybody went through it slowly. And now he's chazming it at least that I know of 3 times. He liked learning the kiyas and. As putting in extra time, he would learn other mesechtas. And last year, at a year ago, of Pesach time, at the age of 26, he made his first Siyam HaShas. I say the first because he's probably going to do it again one day. And Bli Ayin Hara, 26 years old, was able to finish Shas when he turned on the motor, a real strong hasmada, and putting in extra hours only at the older teenage years. I mean, Bli Ayin Hara and Mitzvah Hashem by me, and Mitzvah Hashem by all of you. But I really feel that when people hear such a thing, Bach is able to finish Tanakh, he's able to finish Shas, so what do we say to that? What's our reaction? We can't do it. Fools we are. We think that we can't do it. Tipei Shema'u Oimer. Prayer is so big. Nezikin Lamed Prakim. Kein Lamed Prakim. That's what a fool says. When you hear something like that, our reaction shouldn't be that we can't do it. Our reaction should be, tomorrow I'll learn two halachas. Today I'll learn two halachas. Tomorrow I'll learn two halachas. And eventually, Kol HaTorah Kula. We'll make a Siyam on Shas. We'll make a Siyam on Tanakh. That's something that a person has to see little by little. I don't think there's anybody in this room, and I'm willing to discuss it with every yachid afterwards. I don't think there's anyone in this room that can't make a Siyam HaShas by the time they're 30 years old. Person, you're learning Amit today, you're learning Amit tomorrow, you chazer it. People think, oh, Shas, it's so big, I can't even count all the Masechtas in the back shelf. You learn a little bit at a time, and then as you get used to it, you're able to learn a little faster, and you chazer, and the more Gemaras you know, the easier it is to figure out Gemaras, because Gemaras come up time and time again. But I don't think at 18 years old, my brother would have thought that he would finish Shas at 26. But as you get better at it, and as you put in more and more kaychas into it, it's something that's able to be done. And I think that in the times that we lead up to Kabbalah HaTorah, we have to give ourselves that opportunity and that chance to become a Talmud Chacham. If the Ma'ariv is over in this yeshiva at 10:15, maybe 10:20, yeshiva davening. So it's 10:20. Most people are not going to sleep at 10:20. You don't have to be afraid to stay in the Beis Medrash after 10:20 at night. The mice don't come out till much later. This place at 10:20 at night, and most people are not going to sleep. From 10:20 to get a Seder and a Perek in Tanakh, every night you do a Chavrusa, a Perek Tanakh. The Prakim that are very hard, you do a half a Perek at night. Before you turn around, you have a Siyam on Nevi'im Mishayim, Siyam on Nevi'im Akhbarim, you have a Siyam on Tanakh. You get a small Masechta, a Chagiga, a Marikata, and you learn with a Chavrusa, Bein Astar on lunchtime, or whatever it is, Fridays. And before you know it, you're making a Siyam. Person, it's a... You shouldn't sell yourself short and think, I can't do it. Give it a try. Try to make an extra Seder in some event you like. So I think in the Yemei HaSfira now, where we're counting each day, Each day, one, two, three, we're counting each day. We have to make sure, Rabbi Yisai, that we make each and every day count. We have to make sure that we take advantage of our time. We should learn with the geshmak that the Torah has in it. When we see something geshmak, we should tell it over to others. We should write it down for ourselves. And we should allow ourselves the time and put in the effort that it takes to become a Talmid Chacham. But this we should be zoiche, that in the days of Sfira, we should be kind of the Torah on the highest level, and we should reach our great potential.